Hi there, this is Jacob Msiba, the senior pastor of Builders Church. I just want to thank you for taking time to listen to our podcast today, and I trust that it will bless and build your spirit. Enjoy the message, and God bless you. Well, Bazalwane, we started off 2 weeks ago, and we focused on the subject, the redemption of my soul, right? And we said God, through the blood of Jesus Christ, redeemed our souls. Amen. And last week, we spoke about the salvation of our souls, that of course, God redeemed us so that he can save us. And we said salvation is an experience that is progressive. Amen. And today, we are focusing, of course, on the prosperity of our soul. And what we need to know and understand is that, you know, God does not only want to redeem our souls, not only does he want to save our souls, but he also wants our souls to prosper. Are we here, Bazalwane? Because this is part of what I call the fourfold salvation package. Amen. When you and I declare that we are saved, we are not just making reference to the forgiveness of our sins just so that we can go to heaven. Amen. That is part of the package. Amen. That is one aspect of the package. But we all know that when we are saved, we are again receiving the gift of eternal life. The Bible says in the book of John chapter number 3 verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." So that is part of the salvation package. And number 3, we are also promised as part of the salvation package, healing and deliverance. Amen. The Bible tells us that by his stripes we are healed. So when Jesus hung on that cross of Calvary, he also made provision for our healing and for our deliverance. That's why even the Bible speaks about how he has delivered us, and he is even delivering us today, and he shall yet deliver us. Amen. Because it is our portion as the children of God. And number 4, of course, as part of the salvation package, we are also promised blessing and prosperity. The Bible says Jesus hung on that tree and so that he may remove the curse of the law from our lives. The Bible says he became poor so that you and I can become rich. Amen. The blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow is upon our lives, and it is our portion. So there is power in the preaching of the gospel of salvation. When we are declaring salvation over the lives of the people, when we are declaring salvation over, you know, the nations of this world, we need to realize the power that is inherent in the message of the gospel of salvation. The word salvation, as a matter of fact, in the Greek, it is the word soteria. And it means rescue or safety, physically or morally. It means to deliver. It means health. It means to save or saving. Alibongwe ikamalengosi Bazalwane. Are we here, Bazalwane? So when we begin to walk a close walk with God, we are supposed to experience salvation in its fullness. We are supposed to walk in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And it is our portion for all of us. And we need not to be apologetic, Bazalwane, when it comes to going after everything that is available for us. Because this is what the gospel of Jesus Christ promises. Are we here, Bazalwane? Listen to what the Bible tells us again in the book of Romans chapter number 1 verse 16. The Bible says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." Amen. The gospel is the power of God to salvation. When we are hearing the message of the gospel, it leads us to salvation. In totality, not part of it, but the whole entire package. Everything is available for us, and we need to go after everything. Not just the forgiveness of our sins. Amen. But also our healing, our deliverance, our blessing, our favor, our prosperity, Bazalwane. It is our portion, and most importantly, eternal life. Are we here? And these are the good news that we are supposed to be proclaiming to this world. Even as, Bazalwane, we are faced with this pandemic in our nation, people are fearful. People are discouraged. People are afraid. Amen. And this is where, as the Church of Jesus Christ, we need to rise up and proclaim the message of the gospel and share the good news with the world to say, you know what, more, you know, above everything else that is happening all around us, not just about COVID-19, you know, there are fears about the economy. There are fears about the future of nations and what's going to happen. There are fears about almost anything, Bazalwane. And our joy does not necessarily come from the healing in as far as our economy is concerned, the healing of this pandemic or whatever, but our joy is in the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to know that somebody died for my sins, to know that somebody died for the sins of this world. He hung on that cross so that you and I can experience the kind of life that only God can give. To experience the joy that only God can give. To experience the peace that only God can give. The Bible describes this peace as the peace that surpasses all understanding. In other words, it goes beyond situations and circumstances. Things can be bad all around us that we do not have control over. But the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ begins to work in us and to give us hope to know that God is on our side. Are we here, Bazalwane? It is only when we have discovered our identity in Christ that we can stand firm, just like the four Hebrew boys, as we call them, Bazalwane, to declare that our God is going to deliver us. And I love the latter part of that statement when they say, even if he does not, but we will not bow down to the king. Amen. So even as the children of God during this time, we need to say, we are not going to bow down to fear. We are not going to bow down to poverty. We are not going to bow down to the belief systems of this world, because we know what the Bible says. We know what our God says. We know what our God reveals and declares to us. And we choose to believe in what God is able to do, because our God is able. The Bible says he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above we can ever ask or think. The Bible says about our God that even before we pray, he already knows what we want to ask. Amen. But he is sitting on his throne waiting for us to come with boldness through the blood of Jesus Christ, to use the name of Jesus Christ so that God can hear us and answer us, Bazalwane. And we are not going to apologize to go after what we believe in. We are not going to apologize to go after everything that the Bible reveals in as far as the gospel of Jesus Christ is concerned. We are going to continue to preach the gospel. That's why I believe, you know, Paul declared these words to Timothy. I think he was, you know, preparing even us just so that we know that times are not going to be the same. And Paul says to Timothy, preach the gospel in and out of season. Whether or not isimo siyavuma noma sivumi, he says to Timothy, preach the gospel. Why? Because the gospel is good news. And we are not going to be silenced. We are not going to be silenced, but we are going to proclaim the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it is the power of God to salvation. It is the kind of a message that pushes us closer and closer to our salvation, to our rescue, to our blessing, to our eternal life, to our forgiveness of sins, to our favor, to every good thing that you and I want to experience in this life, Bazalwane. Are we together? Amen. Are we here? Yes. So we are going to share this gospel in every place where we go. We are going to share the message of the gospel in taxis. We are going to share the message of the gospel in schools. We are going to share the message of the gospel through television. We are going to share the message of the gospel through the internet. Whatever means possible, our responsibility, what we have been called for, what we have been anointed for, it is to minister the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are we together, Bazalwane? So as we have said, Bazalwane, no, you know, God does not only want to save and redeem our souls, but God also wants our souls to prosper. Why? Because it is not God's desire to see us fail. It is not God's desire to see us crash, to see us destroyed. God does not find joy in seeing us depressed and distressed and overcome by, you know, overcame by all sorts of things around us. That's why even in his heart, his desire is for us to prosper in our lives. Are we here, Bazalwane? I know that that word prosperity in the church today has become almost like a curse word. As soon as you mention the word prosper, you are going to be labeled as a prosperity preacher. And I always tell you, Barcelona, that I am not going to stop mentioning the word prosperity, especially when I preach. Even if it means people are going to label me a prosperity preacher. Why? Because the word prosperity is in the Bible. It's part of the message of the gospel. So why must we, you know, feel as if we are sinning when we are telling God's people about the message of prosperity? Of course, you know, that we cannot deny the fact that it came with many extremes and it was abused. But that does not mean God has changed his mind about his people prospering. God did not say simply because this message was abused, we are supposed to change it. Amen. God still wants us to prosper. Why? Because God has got good plans for you and I. Amen? God wants us to prosper. God wants us to succeed in this life. Jeremiah 29 verse 11, in the NIV, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." These are God's plans for us, Barcelona. Can we imagine, Barcelona? These are great news. God, by the time you, even before you are saved, the reason why God wants you to be saved is because he has got good plans. I look at it this way. The reason why God does not sleep and he does not slumber, he spends all the hours thinking about your success and your prosperity. Wow. That's why when it comes to us, wow, he says, "I will bless you in your sleep." Yes. In other words, God says, "Just go to bed, my child. Just rest, find peace. I will be the one who will be stressed, who will scratch my head if God does get stressed. You know, I'll be the one who will figure out and come up with a plan. And all that you need to do is to come to me and I will give you the plan. I will show you how you are. I've given you my spirit that no eye have seen, no ear has heard, nor is it entered into your heart. The great plans that I have for you. All that I'm going to do is that when you come to me by faith, I'm going to reveal all of these good and great things that I have in store for you." And this is supposed to be our attitude as the children of God. We need to come, especially once we are saved, Barcelona, we need to get in and understand that God has got good plans for us. We don't have to perform. We don't, even when we were still sinners, God had a great plan. Even before we were born, he said to Jeremiah, "Before you were formed in your mother's womb, said, I have ordained you a prophet." Amen. You might not be ordained a prophet, but God, probably he will ordain you a doctor. He has ordained you a lawyer. He has ordained you a businessman. He has ordained you an entrepreneur. He has ordained you a leader, a political leader, a president. God will not change his mind simply because of what other people have done with the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God has not changed his mind. Listen to what the Bible says in Psalm 35 verse 27. It says, "Let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant." So when we prosper as the children of God, God rejoices. God celebrates. It makes him happy. Just like you and I, we are parents, right? Many of us, we are parents here. And our desire is to see our children doing well in life. If there's one thing that you want to see as a parent, many of us, day and night. What does it mean? It's because we want to prepare our children for a brighter future. We send them to schools. We make sure that everything that they need for their well-being, they are going to have it. Why? Because we want to see them prosper. So that's why it is going to be so wrong. Because we are not even as righteous as God is. God is 100% pure and righteous. God is the God of righteousness and justice. So what does it mean? When it comes to judgments, making decisions, he is going to be more accurate than we are. So how come we can see ourselves better than God, thinking that we can have good plans for our children and God cannot have good plans for his children? We his children. Amen. That's why the Bible says, if we, as wicked as we are, when our children are asking for bread, we are not going to give them a stone. When they are asking for fish, we are not going to give them a serpent. How much more about our God? So that's the mindset that we need to have as our children. We need to know that we serve a God who has got good plans for us. We serve a God who does not sleep nor slumber. We serve a God who has got great plans for us. And all that we need to do is to come before him with faith in our hearts, believing that God will make a way for us. Even when you can feel stuck in life, Know that God will make a way for you. Amen. Life might be confusing. Things might not be coming together the way that you want them to come together, Bazalwane. But I want you to maintain the heart and the attitude of faith, believing that God is going to make a way for you. Amen. And most importantly, we need to rely on the word of God for this particular thing to happen in our lives. We need to depend on the power of the word of God, the truth that is in the word of God. Many people will always have opinions about what is supposed to happen in your life. You know, there are people who have appointed themselves just to study your life and have opinions. This world has got opinions about quite a lot of things that are happening in our lives, even during this time. Many people have got opinions what the church is supposed to do, what the children of God are supposed to do. But there is power, Bazalwane, in just following the principles of the word of God. We need to trust that the word of God carries power to save us. So there are two main things that I want to suggest. That number one, we need to learn how to fall in love with the word of God in order for us to experience this prosperity that God has in store for us. James chapter number 1 and verse 21, the Bible says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So the word of God is able to save and prosper our souls. It is able to redeem us. And therefore we need to love it. Psalm 119 and verse 159, the Bible says, consider how I love your precepts. Look, Bazalwane, we need to fall in love with the word of God. It must not be a struggle to read and follow the word of God. It must not be a difficult thing to do as the children of God. We need to love, just like what the psalmist declared. He says, consider how I love your precept. Each and every morning when we wake up and we read the word of God, we need to understand that it must not be out of a sense of duty that I must do it. I must read the word. But we need to fall in love with the word of God. We need to connect with the word of God, because it is only when we fall in love with the word of God and connect with it that it can minister to us in the way that it's supposed to minister to us. It can penetrate our hearts. It can transform our hearts. It can renew our minds. It can begin to work when we truly fall in love with it. And secondly, Bazalwane, let me suggest that we also need to develop a habit of having fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Each and every day as the children of God. For us to experience the kind, you know, when we read the scriptures about prosperity, it is not about just taking them to your mind. But it is about making sure that you love the word of God in its entirety, right? And two, you fellowship with the Holy Spirit, because it is the Spirit of God who is going to reveal to us what we are supposed to do. It is the Spirit of God who opens our eyes, that even as we study the word of God will become alive and powerful the way that it's supposed to be, because the Bible already declares the word of God to be alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So our hearts need to be opened, and we need to allow the Spirit of God each and every day. We are not supposed to commune with the Spirit of God only when we are in a church service. But each and every day, we are supposed to walk a close walk with the Spirit of God. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 14, the Bible says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. That is the kind of life that we are supposed to live as the children of God. To commune with the Spirit of God each and every day. To fellowship with Him each and every day. To walk a close walk with Him. To be open to Him, so that when He speaks to us, we can follow His dictates. We can follow His leadership and His guidance, because we trust that wherever the Spirit of God is leading us, through His Word, there's supposed to be that balance, the Spirit and the Word. Through His Word, the Bible says, His Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And when God speaks to us in that way, He is leading us to our green pastures. He is leading us to our place of blessing and prosperity. He is leading us to make decisions that are going to bring success and victory in our lives. We are not supposed to break that fellowship and communion with the Spirit of God. Each and every day, it is supposed to be our lifestyle, Bazalwane. And I want to close, because we need to understand that this prosperity that God promises us, it is supposed to be a balanced kind of prosperity. We know that the Bible tells us in no uncertain terms that all scripture has been breathed or inspired by the Spirit of God, right? That's how all of these people wrote down whatever verse you can find in the Bible. Why? Because they were inspired by the Spirit of God. Their eyes were open. God downloaded the scriptures into the hearts of men. And under that same inspiration, John sits down and he writes this prayer as we have read in our opening text. And he says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper, not in some of the things, but in all things, and be in health." It is his prayer. It was as if God was looking at us in the future, realizing that we need this kind of a prayer. And John writes it down, and this is the prayer that we can still take even to, you know, today, to pray it over the church of Jesus Christ, to pray it over our children, to pray it over our families. He said, "I pray that you may prosper in all things." Not some of the things, all things. Prosper in your marriage. Prosper in your life. Prosper in your career. Prosper in your business. And he says, "And be in health." And that is my prayer even to you this morning. May you prosper in all things. May you prosper in your life. May you prosper in your career. May you prosper in your business. May you prosper in your studies. In all things, may God's prosperity plan be fulfilled. And above all, may you be in health. May you be in health, you and your loved ones. May you be in health, you and your children. May you be downloaded with the life of God. May you be endowed with the very life of God in you. But take note, he says, just as your soul prospers. Just as your soul prospers. So he says, this prosperity that you are supposed to experience in your life is supposed to be in proportion to the prosperity of your soul. That word prosperity there must not be limited to just finances, Barcelona. Because there is much more that is available in the word prosperity than just financial success. The Greek word prosper there is the word eudio, and it means to help on the road. It means passively succeeding in reaching. And figuratively, it means to succeed in business affairs. But I love the part where it defines it as to help on the road. Because that is God's desire for each and every one of us. He wants to help us reach our destinies. He wants to help us succeed in raising our children. He wants to help us succeed in our careers. He wants to help us in every area of our lives. Each and every one of us, Barcelona, we need divine help in order for us to succeed. And I hope we will realize, even in our nation, South Africa, and other nations of this world, that even during this time, we need divine help in order for us to succeed in whatever it is that we want to succeed in, Barcelona. We need God to help us. We need God to help us, Barcelona. Psalm 46 verse 1 says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." All of the troubles of this world, they seek just one thing, Barcelona: God's divine help. Even though the solutions in this world may come as if they come, you know, from men, but God is the source. God is the one who opens up our eyes to discover solutions, Barcelona. Therefore, we need God to help us. That's why, and the only thing that will keep us at peace and not to be fearful in our lives, it is to know that God is with us. It is to know that God is our helper. It is to know that God is the one who strengthens us. He is the one who gives us courage and boldness. that even in difficult times, in challenging times, we are going to press on, knowing that we are not alone. Knowing that we have God on our side who is helping us. Knowing that God is here just to ensure that whatever it is that as His children we are involved in, it is going to succeed. It is going to prosper. And right now, we need to lift up even our eyes to Him, because our help comes from the Lord. And that is God's desire for us, Bazalwan. And we need to understand that whatever it is that God wants us to experience even in our lives on the outside to succeed in, Bazalwan, it has got to be in proportion to the prosperity of our souls. So in other words, John was suggesting here that even if you can prosper in life, but if you are not prosperous in your soul, that prosperity is in vain. That prosperity will not last. That prosperity is not complete. Jesus Christ puts it this way. He says, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" So as I prosper in life, as I live in a big house, driving a beautiful car, having a beautiful wife, having a successful husband, if that whole prosperity is at the expense of my soul, John here is suggesting that it is incomplete. That's why he is praying for us. He says, "Brethren, I pray that you may prosper in all things." But he says, "Even as your soul prospers." I want to suggest, Barcelona, that if our prosperity flows from within, it is going to be permanent prosperity. But if our prosperity, Barcelona, is just on the outside, if it is just on the outside and our souls are not prosperous, that outside prosperity that we are experiencing is not guaranteed that it is going to last. As a matter of fact, it will lead us to destruction. That's why many today we see people living in beautiful houses, driving great cars, seemingly successful in business, and yet there is no peace, there is no joy in their lives. And another mistake that we make as Christians, we also want the prosperity of our souls at the expense of the prosperity of our life, businesses, careers. We don't have to choose between the two. God says, all is available. You can prosper in life, in your business, in your career, in proportion to the prosperity of your soul. As a matter of fact, Bazalwan, once you begin to go for the prosperity of your soul and renew your mind in as far as the prosperity of your life is concerned, you are going to experience this balanced kind of prosperity, where in every area of your life, you are going to be happy at work, happy at home, happy in church, happy with your family, happy with your children, happy with your friends, because that's the kind of prosperity. Are you saying to me, "But Mfundisi, is it possible?" Yes, it is possible, because that is what God is promising from His word. He says there's everything available for your soul, spirit, and body. Only if you are willing. Only if you are willing. And I pray today that God will touch you in every area of your life. I pray today that you are not just going to experience redemption and salvation just in your spirit, but God will begin to cause us, Bazalwan, to experience redemption, salvation, prosperity, even in our souls, even in our bodies. That there will be joy, peace, favor, blessing, unspeakable all around our lives. That everything that we are going to do, we are going to see God's prosperity plan being fulfilled. Are we here, Barcelona? Let's stand on our feet and let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning in the name of Jesus for your word. Thank you once again for listening to the message today. We trust that you were blessed by it. Please do subscribe to our podcast to receive new messages every week. Thank you very much, and keep on building.